The first lesson for today is from the first letter of John, chapter 3. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The second lesson for today is from the 10th chapter of John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I laid it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Take a moment and pray with me. Holy Lord, we have invited you to dwell within us. Nudge us with the words we hear today until they come alive in us. Amen. Okay, this is my first time here doing this, so be very forgiving. Many of you know that I do a little acting from time to time. I'm not a professional actor, but occasionally they let me have some fun reciting lines and singing some songs over at on the stage of the Waukesha Civic Theater and a few other community theaters that I've done in the past, too. Some people find standing up in front of an audience kind of terrifying, but for some of us, it's really an exhilarating challenge, like what some people feel when they play on a basketball team or they play in a band or they fly on a zip line or they swim with sharks. Maybe not that last one so much. At least a few times, my wife has suggested that I like to be on stage because of the applause. And while that is probably true, because Susan is quite a good observer, I'll let you in on a secret. I really love stories. And as hard as it is to believe, and don't be too shocked, I also love to sing. And so performing in musical theater is really a fun way that I get to do two of those things together. I tell stories and I get to sing. But you know what? Theater is also a great tradition. It's not just a great tradition of the ancient Greeks like Thespis or Aeschylus or Sophocles that you've heard of before, who wrote and performed plays and famous theaters in Athens and Dionysia and Delphi. And it's not just a great tradition for the English Renaissance playwrights like Lord Byron and Shakespeare, who I'm sure you know of as well. But as our guest pastor Sarah Knowles reminded us last week, the content of our Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, was passed on through spoken word long before it was ever written down. And in some cases, that happened for many generations. The story of God's relationship with us was used as a kind of theater back in the days before people had television to watch. While we have Bibles now, the practice of speaking God's word continues today. Each Sunday, we come here not only to worship, but to hear the scripture read and to hear some explanation or elaboration on it. There's a sense in which today's preaching that happens in many pulpits, not just here, is a kind of theater. It's a kind of acting out of God's gospel message. But of course, telling the story of God's love isn't the only way to act it out. Probably many of us have been told that St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." Well, that attribution is probably apocryphal. We don't really have any evidence that St. Francis actually said that. It's not written down anywhere. But he was the founder of the Franciscan Order of Monks, and he did pen this advice to his fellows. "No brother should preach contrary to the Holy Church. All the friars should preach by their deeds." That is something that is written down. Those words kind of have a similar ring to the first one, but they're not quite the same spin as everything that we have there. He doesn't say that people shouldn't use words. He doesn't say, don't use your words to tell the story of God and Jesus. But he says that your deeds should be consistent with your words. And it's not surprising that St. Francis would advise his order that way. He was taking an example from Jesus. I'm sure many of you hardly need to be reminded of the beginning of John's gospel, in which he boldly claims, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father." Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. His words and actions were consistent. He told the story of God's love through his words, and he showed the story of God's love through his works. The words and works are bound together in the scripture we just heard Catherine read to us from John's gospel. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep." His words tell us that God loves us and cares for us in the same way that a good shepherd cares for his sheep. That is, so much that he will sacrifice his own life for us. But in that passage, we are reminded that sacrificing his own life is exactly what Jesus chose to do. So, how do you feel about that good shepherd? Do you want him to know you? Do you want to know his voice? It is an amazing mystery that we can be the sheep in this fold. But to be in the flock means something quite profound. In the passage from 1 John that we heard today, we're reminded that not only of what Jesus did for us, but what that example means for his followers, for those of us that know his voice. Jesus tells his readers, We know, John tells the readers, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. The good shepherd sacrifices for the sheep. A good shepherd loves the sheep and is willing to use his or her life to care for them. In some cases, we're naturally inclined to do this, to act out that work. We care for our families and for our close friends. But in the passage from today, John informs us that the flock is bigger than we might think. John lets us know that Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not in this fold. They listen to my voice, and there will be one flock." Many theologians over time have struggled with identifying who is in the flock. Even John Calvin, the almost founder of the Presbyterian denomination, who at one time actually tried to estimate the percentage of people who were going to be saved and the percentage of those who were condemned, he said, "We don't know who is saved. Only God knows." So Calvin said, "We must treat everyone as if they're part of the flock, even if they're not in this fold." So you probably remember Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan that's in Luke. Do you remember what the context is that he told the parable of the Good Samaritan? He had just been asked by a religious scholar, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And he answered the scholar back with a question. He says, "What does the law of Moses say?" And the lawyer responded by quoting the great Shema from Deuteronomy. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus affirms him, and he answers. He says, "Right, do this and you will live." But then the Pharisee asks him this question: "Who is my neighbor?" Sometimes when I read that passage, I imagine that question just breaks Jesus' heart. But Jesus recognizes the humanity of the question, and he meets the need by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. You know the story. I'm not going to recite it for you here. But at the end of the telling, Jesus asks the questioner, "Who was a neighbor to the man who was attacked?" That's the most important part of the story. The man had asked him this question. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" So he says, "Who acted as a neighbor?" It helps us determine who we should be acting out for. The lawyer who asked the question responds by saying, "Well, the Samaritan who helped the man that was attacked, he was the neighbor." And when I get to that part, I always imagine Jesus is relieved that he can tell the man, "Go and do the same." Or put it another way, be a neighbor to someone who is in need. The story of the Good Samaritan is a good indicator of the kind of sacrifice that Jesus calls us to. Not everyone is going to go and sacrifice themselves on a cross. It is a sacrifice. This sacrifice is a sacrifice that gives. It's a sacrifice that builds people up. And most importantly, it's a sacrifice that heals. We often say that God doesn't stop the consequences of bad decisions, but that God does work good from the bad decisions that people make. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the choices of some unnamed bandits are what brings about the bad state of the attacked man. But the choice of the Samaritan brings good to the situation, and it's good that heals. While we didn't use it as a lesson today, one of the lectionary readings for today is the 23rd Psalm. We'll sing about it later in the service. We have a hymn that actually uses that text. But most of us can probably recite the 23rd Psalm by heart because it's so famously well known. That psalm describes some of what it is like to live for our brothers and sisters. If we care for the flock like good shepherds, we help the flock to lie in green pastures. beside still waters. We help restore them. We are with them even in the valley of the shadow of death. We comfort them. When we know the voice of Jesus, we hear his call to act out that example of love for our neighbors. Perhaps it's not a surprise that the sheep imagery is found in other parts of the Bible too. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells another famous parable where he gathers the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And in that parable, like the story of the Good Samaritan, the sheep act out to give and to build and to heal. The sheep are the people that act to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, care for the sick, and visit people in prison. This is what it means to be part of the flock of Jesus. This is what it means to know Jesus' voice. And this church, yes, First Presbyterian Church of Waukesha here, has been at the forefront of that kind of sacrifice for many years. People in this sheepfold here have known the voice of Jesus and have acted out his commands on the local stage here. I know about some of the missions that I've been a part of just in the short time that I've been here, like we have the Caring Place, the Hebron House, Loaves and Fishes, the Salvation Army, Feed My Starving Children. I've heard people tell me about other missions that this church was instrumental in providing. Meals on Wheels, Waukesha Women's Center, Waukesha Food Pantry, and Interfaith. I'll bet that many people here, many of you who have been here for a while, you can probably name other programs that this church has shepherded over the years. Other people have some ideas? Judy? Betty? You know some other things that I don't know of that have been here before? Betty says I covered it, so. In today's lesson from 1 John, that letter of 1 John, the people who listen to Jesus' voice and act, the people who act, are supported. They're even undergirded by these words. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. That Spirit has not left us. It is still in us today. While the legacy of this church is very important, we live in the now. And as you know, we are facing some challenging times in this church. We have fewer members each year, and it seems hard to carry on. There are concerns that we need to use our resources for good. As we try to determine the brightest future for this church, I ask you to consider the good that we do and what this community might lose if this fold isn't here for our neighbors. The Hebron House across the parking lot from us may face some additional challenges. There will probably be some reduction of support for Loaves and Fishes. And longtime members of this congregation that are now shut-ins may not have regular visitors. And perhaps most critical, there might be no home for the Caring Place. We, who hear and listen for and know the voice of the Good Shepherd, we are called to act out God's command of love and care. Sometimes we act out that love for people that we know. Sometimes, like the care shown in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we act for people we don't know, and that possibly God alone loves. The acting out of those things is still powerful. It matters to this community. and it matters to the lives that are touched. Let's close with a prayer. Maker of all things, in whom we live and move and have our being, help us to act out your love today. Amen.